it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. My name is Mitch Nels, a.k.a. Thunder. Tommy, let you know I was coming on. Mason Crosby in the house. What up, Mace? Good to
What's
see you,
up, buddy. Yeah, good to see you, too.
I figured this was an appropriate jam. You know, this is wow, you're clean shaven, huh?
I know, yeah. You know, I had some charity events.
I had to look nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get right to it. Joining us now on this day of remembrance here in the United States, the man who carried the flag after 9/11 for our Green Bay Packers, Chris Gizzy. Chris, thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Chris, man. I appreciate you jumping on. And let's get right into it. I mean, just even seeing the picture, you know, we put up a picture on YouTube, and it's been kind of all over the place, you know, surrounding this day. And I was reading an article that you did some interviews for, but I just want you to tell everybody, like, what kind of transpired in that moment after the 9/11 attacks, deciding to get back on the field and play football? It was a Monday night game. Oddly enough, Packers are playing the Commanders tonight. Y'all were playing the Washington Redskins at the time on that Monday night. So just kind of walk us through what those conversations were and you know what that meant, you know, as you ran out on the field carrying that American flag.
Well, it's interesting. It's kind of, in a way, changed as we get perspective on what has happened to the country since then. Yeah. And I think for me, it's like I when the attacks happened, certainly there was a consciousness and awareness and a coming together that was very unique. And the moment of getting back to playing was, you know, I guess that's as a player, you kind of shroud in like, hey, we're back to work. And so you're in work mode. But certainly going out on the field, and not even until I got on the field, I didn't know how special it was. And with the years, 24 now, going on, I think it's even more special now to me and the people that come up to me and speak about it and speak their emotions and what they were thinking. It's a very powerful moment. I'm glad I was able to be a part of that, and it really was a coming together at that time. And then I think as we remember it, we unite a little bit more about those moments in time and even what we're facing now in our daily lives. So that's what sports are about. They're the greatest social common denominator we have. And, you know, for us to be able to come together and have a common goal when it comes to winning a football game, and I think then we find out we have more in common than we think we do. And that's what it's all about for me.
I love that. I love that for sure. I mean, it was just one of those moments in time where it's like, okay, like we can show that this moment, you know, this attack on our country isn't going to, you know, stop us from living our lives. And we're going to keep pushing forward. We're going to do our thing. You ran on that field and you talked about the ground like shaking and like the energy and the excitement. Like, what, you know, was it emotional? Like, what were you feeling in that moment as you carried that flag out onto the field?
Well, it was something else. There's rare occasions on Lambeau where the ground shakes, like a Monday Night Miracle, a Favre underhand pass, where
exactly.
He scoots one out left-handed, submarine style, and the place goes nuts. And I think that's what stepping out of the tunnel and the crowd getting back into it, all the emotion, energy, and they carried me across that field. I know that for sure.
Oh man, and you were at the time you were an Air Force Reserve, right? So was there like a moment in time where you were like, okay, I mean, if I get called, like I might have to go and serve in that time. Was that a potential, like something that was in your mind and something that could have actually happened?
Yeah, 100%. I've spoke with my commanding reserve officer that day. We're really almost within an hour of the events going down and us processing everything. And I think where it came down to, and as things settled in over that week, I was very forthright with the Packers, and the Packers were 100% in support of what I was doing, what the military needed from me. I mean, there was no hesitation on anyone's part to be forthright in the conversation about what were my priorities were. And as the decision came down, I followed orders. Like, hey, you keep rocking it for the Packers. You keep recruiting for us. You keep being a representative of who we are as an Air Force, as a military. And, you know, those were my marching orders, and I stuck to them. So it was a unique time. And I think when you talk to your friends, I mean, think about it, Mace, like you've been in a huddle. The guys and gals, even going to school, guys and gals at the Air Force, they were up in the air fighting the battle as soon as that attack went down. And they couldn't share everything they were doing with me, but they were in harm's way. They were out there defending the country immediately. And certainly you want to do everything you can. I think every American does. What can I do? And sometimes that's about supporting folks. Sometimes that's doing whatever it takes in our daily lives. And I think that's how I looked at it. Like, man, what can I do here? And I think then when you get and receive feedback and thanks from those folks who are out there putting it on the line, that was, I to say it was satisfying, kind of underscores it. It's like, all right, I just want to be part of the team. I want to keep pulling in the right direction. I want to support you guys. And the fact that I think that was the day we didn't have text messages or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And my voicemail box was filled up, and a lot of people, you know, left a voicemail, but some people you didn't even know would leave a voicemail. And these were commanders from around the world and wanting to say thank you, because I think it gave everyone a shot in the arm who was deployed or who was in a forward area, wherever it might be. They were in harm's way protecting our country. And I think it was like, hey, I'm glad back home people are thinking about us.
Mm. We got Chris Gizzi on the Mason Crosby Show, former Packers linebacker, longtime Packers strength and conditioning coach, Air Force Academy grad, and everyone knows this iconic picture. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it, check out the picture of Chris Gizzi running that American flag on the field, you know, a week removed from the 9/11 attacks back in 2001. Can't believe it's been 24 years, right? And it's like, man, like we can't like ever forget that. And like, especially with, you know, stuff that's transpired in our, you know, our country in the last day as well, just like we need, you know, to remember these moments and say, hey, sports, these things can, like, they can help unify. They can help, you know, bring people together from so many different spaces. And we can look at the Green Bay Packers. We can look at, you know, sports teams and say, all right, like, we have this common goal, we have this common interest, and we're going to go chase it. But, yeah, I just, you know, I want to talk a little bit more, too, just about, you know, what were those conversations, like, what were the guys in the locker room like in, you know, in the days after, you know, the attacks? I remember I was in high school at the time, you know, sorry, a little bit younger than you are, Chris, but I was in high school. I still remember, like, we went and played a game, I think, on that Friday night, and, you know, you're just kind of like, it was surreal. It was you know, hard to talk about. But again, I think, like you said, it's kind of a wild moment when you get back into that locker room, when you start doing your thing, you kind of, you don't forget, but you're just kind of like, all right, like, this feels good. This feels normal. What was that feeling before y'all ran out? Like, can you remember just how that felt, and like what any kind of conversations you had with your teammates surrounding all of it?
Yeah, I, you know, leading up to the game, it's kind of business as usual, Mace. Like, I know, you know, the week after 9/11, that was different. We were healing. The schedule was different. And everyone was reaching out, sharing stories. Certainly, guys would ask me, hey, are you going to have to go and leave? I'm like, hey, this is what they're telling me right now. I'm here. And, you know, guys were concerned about me as a person,
yeah,
which is, you know, it's sometimes it's hard for us all as, especially a group of, you know, with its 80 players and all the coaches and support involved, to sometimes think of personal lives because we are so busy working for the very common goal and the tough thing you do as a pro football player. But, you know, there was a genuine concern for everyone, the people who had family in D.C. and New York. You know, that was across the board and across the league, too. Like, everyone was in support of each other. I think when we got back to playing it, in a way, that's the biggest way to honor that. Hey, it's time to get back to it. And you have a game face. Now, I think when we had the moment of running out of the field, and it was like a breath of fresh air out, the moment I remember is I'm a little gassed after it. I'm breathing heavy. The special teams coach, Frank Novak, comes up to me. Yeah. And Frank's just a heart of gold, fiery guy, and he's bawling. He's crying. I'm probably bawling too, shaking. And he's like, Gizzy, you wild man, what are you doing? You know, he's got that thick Italian accent to him. He's shaking, he's grabbing me. He's like, that was awesome, you know, this, that. And he calms down. He's like, you're still good for this opening kickoff, right? I'm like, Frank, I got you, bro.
Yeah, right. You're good. I mean, right?
That's sort of that mentality of like, hey, we're able to take a deep breath and we're able to be connected. All right, let's go play football and do what we do. And, you know, in a way, that was a break for us, those 3 hours, to truly get absorbed in something and not necessarily have to think about all the things that are obviously happening in our lives. And, again, that's the beauty of the game for everyone.
Yeah, there's healing in that moment right away, for sure, for sure. I think Mitch has something for you. Go ahead, Mitch.
Hey, Chris. Chris Gizzy with us here on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. And Chris, I am a little bit older than Mason, so like you, I was working, and I could tell my story at some point. But you know, I think one of the things about September 11th, 2001 is everybody has that story of where they were when they heard that the towers were hit, that the Pentagon was hit. Where, you know, it was a Tuesday morning, so I don't know if the schedule was the same back then, but I know that Tuesdays is often the off day. For football players, where were you that Tuesday morning?
Yeah, it was an off day. I was, you know, usually we went in a little bit later. There was nothing on the schedule. Like I said, it was an off day. But most guys in Green Bay would go in just to get a kind of head start on the week. So you wrap the last game on Monday, and then you get into the next week Tuesday. So I think that's where we started moving on the Tuesday. I threw the TV on. I don't know why. Like, I never throw the TV on. I was really just in a one-bedroom apartment. I'd make breakfast. I'd be out the door. I threw the TV on, and it was unmistakable within minutes of turning on the TV. And like I said, that's where, you know, my gears started turning. I had friends in D.C., friends in New York, reaching out to them, and, you know, no chance to connect with them. Like I said, shortly after, contacted my commanding officer, and he was on the ball with it. He was making calls and connecting with people all day long, especially being in a reserve unit as we're in. I went into the facility and kind of took a pulse of where things were at. Some people in the facility didn't quite know. I think a lot of coaches were busy working, and it might not have necessarily gotten out, but I think by the end of the work day, there was a clear plan, or at least the understanding by the NFL that, all right, this is something that we're going to have to address and come up with a unique solution. So I think that's where everyone kept talking, communicating, especially I just mentioned to Mason about my unique situation, right, being able to communicate with the Packers, like, hey, I'm doing what the Air Force needs me to do. The Packers, as I expected, I didn't have any doubts, 100% behind it. Whatever it takes, we're behind you. And I think that's where there was just some of those honest conversations. And I think as we huddled together and had a very different and unique week, a lot of guys, I guess, were able to show that personal care they have for each other, you know, as everyone healed and we've sort of, you know, tied together and they all came together on it. And I think as that week ended up and it became a little more clear what the league was going to do, I think a lot of the other sports leagues were very similar, if I remember correctly, leading into that next week. We knew we were getting ready for a game, so I think we were able to kind of set our jaw and be like, all right, here's what we're going to do, and here's how we can move forward with it. And I think I think that was part of the healing process for all of us and coming to cope with things that have happened.
Man, we got Chris Gizzy on the Mason Crosby Show. former Packers linebacker, longtime strength and conditioning coach there, Air Force Academy grad, and you know, the iconic moment where he ran that flag out on the field 24 years ago, as we remember those events of 9/11 and what getting back to football meant. I was reflecting this morning, man, and I'm like, I don't know if I can get through, you know, talking about it. Just, you know, the emotion of what that meant. I remember my dad was on a plane when everything happened, and he had to get, you know, he was grounded. He was luckily going west, but his plane got grounded, I think, in New Mexico somewhere, and he got the first car he could and started driving back home, you know. And it's like, you just kind of, you don't forget those moments, and they are just they're just heavy. So I do want to move into like another, you know, just kind of some thoughts. I see you all the time, Chris, down here in the Tennessee area. Mm-hmm. I know all the stuff you're doing, but, you know, just tell everybody like kind of what you're doing, you're no longer, you know, the strength and conditioning coach there for the Packers, you know, chasing kids around, lots of different things. I know Mitch is into WWE, but I know you're heavy into wrestling, and, you know, Alice is a big time wrestler. So just tell everybody what's going on as you're living life down here in Nashville.
Man, it's been a great move for us. As you know, my wife Jennifer, she's an Air Force graduate, retired Air Force. We have four kids, and you know, certainly they missed and they had a lot of good friends and a great experience in Green Bay. And this was a new adventure for us. We've been here just a little over a year in the South Nashville area, city called Franklin, and it's just been a fantastic move for us. For me, it's just been being able to spend a lot more time at home, being able to help my wife with her venture, being able to be there for the kids, and man, I'm enjoying it. This is I've never lived in a place like Tennessee, and I love it. You know, maybe it's just the weather, more than the weather. People here are great. Yeah, brother, it's great to see you, Mace. As our wives make plans for us to get together, and usually that's how it goes.
That's how it works, right?
It's always a pleasure to meet up with the Crosbys, and we bring our you know, they got their battle wagon, we got ours, and it seems like there's 42 kids running around Magley Green or in your backyard, man. It's been a great move for us, like I said, and I think for me too. I talk about this, like, not necessarily in the business of football or strength conditioning anymore, but I'm still doing it. I think there's a certain pleasure in that. I'm fortunate to be able to just go that route and be able to help with my kids in the neighborhood, you know, and with all different sports, football, baseball, gymnastics, wrestling, softball. Kids stay busy with a lot of different things, so I've just tried to take a chunk and do as much of that with them as I can, and it's really been a pleasure. I think we've had a chance to a little bit in Green Bay, but so much more now. And you know, this has been an awesome move, a great part of the country, and I couldn't ask for anything more right now.
I know, it's funny, Chris and I, so we live two houses away from each other in Green Bay. Obviously, I saw Chris every day at the stadium, and then it was like our kids were always running around, but it was like, you know, when we were home and different things, we definitely, I feel like, hang out outside, you know, just as like in a family setting more now that we're in this Nashville area, you know, doing our thing, and it's just been awesome. And I just want to ask you one more question before we let you go. Like, were you always, like, growing up, like, all, you know, personality-wise, you've always just been such a steady force. You know, obviously, you work out. You work really hard to keep your body right, your mind right, all those things. Like, was that always who you were and what you were? Do you give, you know, do you give a lot of credit to your time at the Air Force Academy and then, you know, what, you know, the military and, you know, going that route instilled in you? Did it change you at all? Or, yeah, just tell everybody kind of what that experience was, choosing Air Force Academy and what, how that kind of shaped your life.
Man, that's a great question. And you know, as you're laying that out to me, it's like, I've been so blessed to be around so many great people, through sports, through school. My father was a lifetime educator and coach, and I think he was the first role model I had in regards to you know, just being a man for all seasons and being well-rounded and striving for excellence in everything you can do. You know, I had a great grade school experience, high school experience at Cleveland St. Ignatius. And then I went to the Air Force Academy. And I'd say this about the military in general. The military doesn't make you who you are. It makes you who you are faster. Like, it just, you have that in you. And it kind of attracts those type of people. And once you get in it, it's just like a fertilizer. It's an environment where you're around like folks and you push each other and you get the best out of each other. It doesn't mean you always agree and it's all, you know, rainbows. I mean, it is the military now. There's a lot of tough things you have to do, even in just training. But I really am blessed to be able to go to a military school. Was it always fun? No, but like, man, I'm so glad I had the experience. I met the people I did. And I think that's what it comes down to. The common tie with all this is just, I've been really fortunate to be around good people, people who stand for something more than themselves. And that was who I was. So that got reinforced, those behaviors, that mindset, that ethos. And I think that's the stuff that we share with each other. And it's probably why everyone at the Packers like forges together. I mean, that's the ethos in that building. It's been there for decades. And it was a natural fit. I mean, I'm not here politicking for the Packers or anything, but I think that's where I can tie it in. There's certain places where that's just how business is done. You know, that place is one of them. My college was one of them. And you know, looking back at my high school. So, shoot, I want to continue that out with how we build our family, how we build businesses, how we make relationships in our community. So I think, you know, our behaviors kind of indicate what's going on inside. Certainly none of us are perfect, but we all strive to do a little bit better each day. And I think we want to be awesome to each other. So no better time now than to be awesome to each other when we need it, when people are hurting and we need to have a tender heart, man, it more so than ever than a day like today.
Man, Chris, well said, dude. And hey, I've probably never, you know, not told you enough how much I appreciate you. I appreciate your service. Just the, you know, steady man that you are, you know, the dad, the father, obviously what you did, you know, for our country and, you know, just everything that you did for me there in Green Bay. Really appreciate you, Chris. Thanks for jumping on. Awesome to hear your perspective. And, we won't forget and we'll remember that moment, and you're carrying that flag, you know, just cements it in our brains as Packers fans, as, you know, as football, as sports fans, and as fans, you know, people that just, you know, appreciate what the military have done. So thanks so much, Chris. Really appreciate you.
Hey, appreciate you, Mason. You embody all those characteristics, man. And thank you for all you do, brother.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Over and up.
That's Chris Gizzy, former Packers linebacker, of course, carried the flag 24 years ago. Today was 9/11. So a week later, when the Packers finally got back on the field, led the team out with that American flag. Actually did it again 10 years later as well.
Yeah, he did.
And you probably remember that even better. 2011 against the Saints, September 8th, and he led that. He led the team out. Amazing. Amazing individual.
Yeah,
great to have him on our team.
Yeah. I was gonna say,
for sure.
I was
solid,
say,
man. He still looks the part.
How good is it that
I go to battle with him?
He's on our side
for sure.
I was gonna say, not that we can only keep him to this, but like we should do that every year with Chris. Like that should be something we kind of keep in the back there, keep that in the chamber. Let's do that every year.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Packers game tonight. Drew Wagner, Brewers just got swept at Texas. You know, sports is a great uniter, but it's also...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It does come in secondary sometimes when real life happens. So a great reminder there with Chris, and great to have him on the air. And And now we get to be distracted by the world of sports, which is which is what sports should be. Like it should be a great uniter. It should be the great distraction. As Chris started today, he said, "The greatest common denominator we have is sports." And I wrote that down, and I love that line. And I'm going to steal it from him. Blatantly. Yeah, I'm ripping it off. Sorry, Chris. Exactly. It's my line now.
It's mine now.
Exactly. Drew Wagner, Forbes Sports, our Milwaukee baseball insider, covers the Brewers every day. He'll join us next here on the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.